So let my soul then take me back to Fort Worth. Pack my things, I've got my lady too. I'm Fort Worth Mayor Maddie Parker. Welcome back to Go Time. In this podcast, I'm talking to Fort Worth's innovators, business leaders, and changemakers, sharing what's on my mind as mayor of one of the largest and fastest growing cities in the nation, and bringing together differing viewpoints to have conversations on topics that matter. Fort Worth, I'm really excited to share today's episode with you. We're going to dive into a topic that is incredibly important to me, both as a mayor, as a mother, and also just someone that's been learning from folks like you here at the table. So first, I want to introduce you both, Dr. Stuart Flynn. Stuart, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
We're going to read your amazing biography in a second so people know. Yeah, we should. I think it's important. You went to school for a long time to get where you are.
I just want to say it's an honor to be invited.
Well, thank you for being here. Appreciate it. And Cameron Combs, director of the Child Poverty Action Lab. Thank you so much for being here as well.
It is such an honor. Thank you for having me.
Of course. These are both incredibly smart gentlemen who are going to share with us the amazing work we've done around our maternal health and infant mortality work. So, for those of you that don't know, that are listening or watching, however you consume your podcast these days, in 2022, we convened what is now the Tarrant County Infant Health Coalition. And as Stuart knows, it was really just a recognition by me and my office and a few other people. We have got to act more swiftly and with more urgency around this issue, around infant and maternal health. And if I give you my perspective as a non-clinician, Dr. Flynn, is when you're governing a city, when you care about your community and you get to see everything, you get to see the good and the bad, the places we're deficient, the places we're succeeding, this work continued to be at the top of the list of things we weren't doing well. And we can get into kind of the statistics as to why that is in this conversation. So we start this coalition with a phone call, right, between me and you and Rose Bradshaw, which was so helpful to say, if we wanted to create this coalition, what would that look like? And I don't know about you, I was surprised that every single person we called, CEOs of all of our hospitals, every nonprofit, funders, all said yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and agreed to be at the table. And I would like to think it was in large part because I asked someone like you to be a leader in that work. So you're a busy guy. You and I actually met before you were in Fort Worth. I guess you were still over the medical school in Phoenix, right?
Correct.
Does that sound right?
Yep.
We were looking at a medical school here, of course, in Fort Worth, TCU. So now you're the founding dean of the Ann Burnett Marion School of Medicine, TCU, which is truly incredible. And I want you to have spent some time today talking about the successes of the medical school, which is great. But your bio is well put. There's so many things in it, but you're a physician, an educator, and a researcher. Do you feel like that's still true today?
Yes,
okay,
I actually
good.
Do.
Good. You have time for that still?
I'm making the time.
Yeah, it's still running a major organization. And we also have Cameron Combs. You're the senior director, as I mentioned, of the Child Poverty Action Lab. You guys have done so much amazing work across Texas. And you got into this work, was it probably 2023, maybe when we first connected about what we're trying to do here in Tarrant County?
Yeah, early last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Both of you have multiple higher education degrees from across the country, really well-respected institutions. But you both chosen to be in this work, which I think is really about community health, no matter which way you spin it, right? So maybe first I'll start with you, Cameron. Why was this coalition interesting to you, especially on the Dallas County side?
Yeah.
And then I'll turn the same thing question to Dr. Flynn.
Yeah. So I work with an organization you mentioned, the Child Poverty Action Lab or CPAL. And my boss, Alan Cohen, recruited me because I have a management consulting background. And my niche is in federal funding opportunities that require coalitions of mm-hmm. organizations that represent local government, universities, healthcare providers, private business, and community groups to come together to innovate and to collaborate. And this novel outcome-based program came across our desk early in that work. And you were one of the first people that we mm-hmm. called to partner on this, given your track record here in Fort Worth convening this coalition. And that laid the foundation that then we were able to bring some key Dallas partners into the mix and can talk more about that.
Well, and I remember at the time, Jeremy Smith, of course, president CEO of the Rainwater Foundation, he was who connected us. I remember that first call we had, and I got off the phone. I think I talked to Jeremy right after. I said, this sounds really complicated. He said, that's why you need CPAL, right? Because this is really hard work. So
yeah, and we said, you'd have to be crazy to go for this. And then that's why
then
we needed Fort Worth.
Yeah, like crazy. Fort Worth seems kind of crazy over there. Let's give it a shot for sure. I love it. Well, we're appreciative of that too. So let's dive in. I think maybe what we should do is start with just this level set for a second. Like, where is our community today? And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Tarrant County specifically because of our coalition. But Cameron, it's fair to say the same realities are faced across DFW, which is why this work together is so important. So Dr. Flynn, tell me, even though I know the answer to this question is rhetorical, where are we today in maternal health and why did we have a certain sense of urgency?
So I think, yes, you do know the answer. We have unfortunate suboptimal results in maternal and infant health and, and therefore concerns. And so, and that's kind of nationally recognized, our results in not a, a positive way. So when you kind of convened all of us, what struck me is hearing those data first, because I wasn't walking in those on those streets initially here. I was relatively new here.
And you're building a medical school.
And I was building, but that's a bad excuse. I should have been all over this. But what struck me in all of this was then the opportunity. As soon as you convened everybody, what really struck me is how many parts of this puzzle existed. They just hadn't been put on a puzzle board. Mm-hmm. And very quickly that started happening over here. And and I know it's your podcast, but that was really you demanding that of us and cajoling us to do that. And then Rose was your right-hand person.
Yeah, she was awesome. She's been awesome. Well, and I went... What we're referring to really is we realized in Tarrant County, which I think I knew in Fort Worth from a healthcare perspective, we are so rich in resources.
Yeah.
There's so much available to every population, but especially to mothers and babies.
Yep.
And I've always had this premise that our city is only as healthy as how we take care of our most vulnerable. And to me, having had two children myself and a third adopted, but having a baby is the most vulnerable experience I've ever been through.
Right.
And to recognize we weren't where we needed to be was unacceptable to all of us in the room. But the great thing was you realized, man, we have all these resources. Why aren't we connecting the dots, putting the puzzle together, as you stated, which is really helpful. I'm going to read a few statistics that I think are important. And Cam, you may have additional information you think is worth people understanding. But Tarrant County's public health region has the second highest maternal mortality rate for Black mothers in the state of Texas, which unfortunately also distinguishes us across the entire United States as one of those top areas in a place you do not want to be identified as in that category. The infant mortality rate is exceptionally high in the zip code of 76104. And if you just move one over to 76107, where it's normalized, we have to ask those questions. Why in that particular zip code, which, by the way, is where your hospital district is as well. And then we know that mental health is the leading cause of pregnancy-related deaths, which is something this coalition has grappled with as well. And then across Texas, 1 out of 10 babies born in the United States are Texans.
Right.
So the population continues. We still need to be serving more and more babies and moms. And so this work became really urgent. Were there anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, and there's so many different layers of the maternal health burden. I sort of think about it as if it were a pyramid, and the tippy top of this burden would be maternal deaths, as you referenced. And then one rung down from that would be what we call severe obstetric complications or severe maternal morbidity. And these are complications that occur during and after childbirth that seriously imperil the life of the mother and have short and long-term consequences for her health. A rung down from that, which is less severe, but still a lot of people experience medical complications during pregnancy and childbirth, or have morbidities like hypertension or mental health, like you mentioned, would be that sort of third level of the pyramid. And then a huge base of it would be folks that are experiencing non-medical drivers of health that put them at risk, particularly during a very vulnerable time, like you said. So it's financial stress, it's mental health stress. Do you have transportation access or food access to be able to seek medical care, to be able to grow a child?
Yeah.
That's all of those pieces.
Okay, so that's actually unplanned, kind of the perfect next segue, is because I want us to also set the playing field for those watching, listening, of, okay, what did the coalition do? Because we're gonna finish with some spectacular results, but we didn't start that way. We were kind of scrappy, right? And I have to give incredible thanks to Sarah Reddington and Sadie Funk with Best Place for Parents and Best Place for Kids run through the Miles Foundation, because we had to have operational leaders helping, I call it herding the cats, right? And they were phenomenal in helping us recognize, okay, we have to start somewhere. And really it was that resource mapping process. In the room, we realized, okay, we have all these amazing resources. So what does that mean? Right. Let's get that on paper. And then we realized our biggest problem related to your pyramid is a closed loop referral system. And before we talk about what that was, as a clinician, that's not easy. As someone that's practicing medicine necessarily, when you know there are resources needed for a patient other than just your direct care, did you worry when we first started, like, how are we actually going to accomplish that and break through?
Well, I was excited. And with Sadie and Sarah, as you mentioned, it sounded like there was a mindset and maybe even a plan. And it turned out both of those were very true.
Yeah.
And I think the survey that the University of Michigan did,
which was our second step, right?
Showed that clinicians would ask a patient to go someplace and then had no idea what happened after. Yeah. And that's very typical of medicine. Mm-hmm. So I think this closed loop, I think this is a beautiful microcosm of how this can work in medicine in general, because now with parent pass and other things, we're getting comfortable that we are closing that loop for moms.
And so here's important for people to understand. So we did this resource map. We realized, okay, we don't have a closed loop. And we know that 53% of our referrals need something outside physical health. And you mentioned that in your pyramid, which was
the base.
Yeah, the base is, you know, half of these moms are going, look, I need access to better food or childcare or whatever it is, mental health resources. And we couldn't achieve that for them. And so that was first and foremost. You mentioned University of Michigan, which was such an interesting survey. We surveyed 82 moms, an incredibly diverse population of mothers that reflect the fabric of Fort Worth and Tarrant County, which was very important to us. And listen to the mom, listen to these mothers tell us where their obstacle were. That was incredibly informative to me. I'm sure, I know it was across the table of all these different organizations. And you mentioned this earlier, but of the women we helped in this pilot, we created an opportunity for them for the first time in their lives to recognize where their deficiencies were and help them connect the dots. Right. I was worried when we first got the survey results back, though, that 20% of the moms were not receiving prenatal care in that first trimester.
Right.
And I'm sure you've seen that in your research really at CPAL too, how critically important prenatal care is. Yeah.
Yeah. So the state of Texas is required through the legislature to produce a biannual report that reviews all these maternal morbidity and mortality cases. And the number one finding is we need to improve access to comprehensive health services and improve the efficiency and coordination of these transitions of care.
Okay.
Right. So like after one of that we know is really important is from an obstetrician to a pediatrician, for instance, right? How do you manage that? And so the innovation that you guys started the coalition around is so foundational to that and Parent Pass. One of the other things that I think is so novel about the approach was you identified this patient need and you identified a program that could help. One of the things that makes Tarrant County very special is My Health, My Resources of Tarrant County brought what's called a care navigation program to Texas. It's called Help Me Grow. But you didn't just say, okay, so now we have this program for y'all so that you should go ahead and use it. You put yourself in the position of those moms and those families. We've talked about Sarah and Sadie a few times. They've interviewed dozens and dozens of families and continue to do so and developed a product, which is this app that connects you to, I may be getting ahead of you.
No, you're right.
To this program, but it's not, hey, as a practitioner, why don't you fit within our program? How about we put ourselves in the mom's shoes and think about what is the information that I want comprehensively as a mom? So not only is it trying to close the referral loop or solve the problem that we're intending to solve, it also includes information around free events here and how are you going to raise a family or be pregnant in Fort Worth, and offers that
and feel comprehensive, like you have the right resources.
Those resources.
Okay, so you were just referring to what Sadie and Sarah have coined the high-tech, high-touch model, which is brilliant on their part. And so I'm going to put myself in a mom's shoes, right? You've just had a baby. Usually what they do is they give you, you know, 10 stacks of paper. There's everything going off. You have no idea what's happening.
Right.
Your whole body hurts.
Right.
And you're also receiving really important information. And then I take away my situation. I had too many people in the waiting room waiting for me, right? English was my first language. I did not have a language barrier. And it was still incredibly hard. So put yourself in the shoes of a mom, maybe a single mother, maybe a mom that doesn't speak English in her household. Yep. And maybe her birth was complicated. Maybe she did have hypertension, right? And we do need resources for these parents. And so it was so important to the entire coalition to say, what can we do for these moms to make that easier? And you talked about it beautifully. We knew MHMR already existed with Help Me Grow. So which is simply, it is a phone line. You pick up a phone and there's someone out there on the line that says, oh yes, I have resources. Let me get them to you. Mm-hmm. And then you connected also the Parent Pass app, which Miles Foundation had already developed through Best Place for Parents. And it was incredibly, incredibly impactful. They've now reached over 15,000 moms that utilize that app.
Yeah.
And we now know that 3,000 mothers were positively impacted through that closed loop referral system after our pilot. So the sky's the limit, right? We know this works for moms.
Yeah.
And it's honestly just meeting the moment in technology, right? There's an app for everything.
Yeah.
And for moms, they needed that same resource, which was great.
Yeah. Yeah,
super helpful.
Sky's the limit, and we're settling for Dallas, where we're expanding to next.
Okay, I love this. This is good. It makes me happy. No. No, we want that though, right? We joke about the rivalry, but in this work, North Texas has to stick together. 100%. We really are stronger together. Right. And I have been really uplifted by watching that coalition happen next. Okay, that's perfect segue again. Good job, Cam. So we've got all this work started, and then came this opportunity around additional federal funding for ARPA-H, which we'll talk about. But more importantly, we recognize, at least I know you did and Rose did, this is how she works and thinks in her role, is we've got to unlock money here. We've got to unlock funding opportunities and focus. And that's where you and I really got to connect on the CPAL front.
Yeah. So CPAL's mission is to reduce child poverty in half within a generation. And when I started, I was like, not sure if that was serious or not, or just something that we said. And it literally is. And they have quantified what that would take. And they have segmented that problem into 5 different domains, and one of which is maternal health.
Okay.
Right? And so the first moments of a child life are absolutely instrumental in determining their trajectory. And if you're going to move such a big problem like child poverty, you need big partnerships.
Yeah.
You need big partnerships with the state, and you need big partnerships with the feds. And so that's where our collaboration really started.
Okay, so let's talk about the state first. This last legislative session, we worked on several things that I think were kind of under the radar, right? That's the way we intended. We just sort of like, it's like ducks on the water.
Yeah.
We're just gonna, and so maybe both of you can kind of share your perspectives on our successes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, you're the politician.
Sure. First, want to like set the stage in terms of, so often I think any given person, particularly if someone who doesn't live in Texas, would probably assume that there is zilch when it comes to bipartisan cooperation on maternal health here. And that is not true at all. The last session, a very notable bill was House Bill 12, which was carried by Representative Tony Rose from Dallas, a Democrat. And Senator Lois Kolkhorst, who is not from here.
She's got TCU roots, though. She loves Fort Worth.
But yes, she definitely,
she's a Horn Frog.
But we'll claim her regardless.
Yes.
And those two together can do really big things for maternal health. And in last session, it was extending Medicaid coverage from 2 to 12 months postpartum, which is just an absolute game changer, particularly when we're thinking about, remember that transition from an obstetrician to a pediatrician, right?
Yeah.
You need coverage. So last session, we had the privilege of working with both of them on a budget rider that appropriates new funding for outcome-based programming that reduces severe obstetric complications or severe maternal morbidity, that second highest sort of chunk of the pyramid. These really intense, severe birth outcomes that take place. Also notably in the last session was the Life of the Mother Act, which clarifies the medical emergency exemptions to Texas's abortion ban, which was passed on a nearly universal basis. Other highlights were establishing a lactation consultants as a Medicaid provider and lactation consultation as a service, which new moms will know is a very overlooked and underappreciated.
It's the most difficult thing that no one talks about.
1,000%.
I think it's better now, but for me personally, I was so proud to have supported that because it's incredibly difficult.
These are critically important people in your of a provider team. So a real pleasure being able to work with you behind the scenes and get to see you in action. your commitment to this issue is real.
I learned a lot too. We now know kind of where our staff is too, and who's most excited about this. And you mentioned Senator Colquhoust, of course, and Representative Tony Rose. So big thanks to them. But we also had other members, you know, Charlie Guerin in particular, who was so helpful to us. And that coalition could go on. Yep. And you said it well, this is a bipartisan effort, and we have more to do this next session. That was 23 and 25 sessions. Yep. And I'm really encouraged because there's always so much negative noise, and there should be. Right? We've got a long way to go in Texas for moms and babies, but we've gotten a few big wins in the last few years, which is really encouraging. So why do you think, Dr. Flynn, other than you're like, I'm doing this just tag along for TCU, why was this important for the School of Medicine to be a part of this work? Because we haven't really had time to talk about it yet, but your students have been incredibly impactful around maternal health, and the way your education model is shaped has been really additive to this work also.
So all very true about our students. We put as a pillar for our medical school, which is unusual for medical schools, community is our fourth pillar. Mm-hmm. And this is, you can't define community any better than this. Plus our students see these patients, that's a major part of their training. And it teaches them the empathy, it teaches them the role wherever they end up practicing of social determinants of health. And they start to internalize that. So it isn't just an academic or a textbook concept. All of a sudden they're living it and they're watching it. So when they go to San Antonio or they go to Minneapolis, these same things exist. And they enter that scene now as kind of mini experts in it. Instead of having to figure it out, they're going to have walked the walk here in a big way. And then in addition, just to kind of show the beauty of this, they watch all these different organizations come together, work together. Now they've watched Dallas and Tarrant counties work together because they also train over there. So this is phenomenal role modeling for them. Instead of a competition, this is about the patient.
That's great. I love it. Okay, so now we shift focus and we realized it's not just Tarrant County, and that's obviously where CPEL came in. We're also working with Dallas County. Let's talk about all the coalition partners so people can understand the scope at which we're working.
So I can tee up the sort of the federal program that we've alluded to a few times and why it's so different and exciting.
Okay.
So it's an outcome-based payment model. What does that mean? That means that unlike a traditional federal grant where you win, you start the contract, you draw down funding against that federal obligation, it reverses it. You do the work, you show the outcomes, and then you get rewarded by the federal government for having demonstrated those improvements.
Okay.
So the outcome measure here is the severe maternal morbidity rate for a population of at least 5 million patients, which as fate would have it, is almost precisely the population of Dallas and Tarrant counties. We applied to this program. We spent the better part of last year developing a almost 700-page application to the feds, and we blew them away, I'm happy to report. And there's some few things that when you brought Dallas and Tarrant counties together that really made us stood out. So the first is one that we've already talked about, which was the work that TCU and you, Mayor Parker, have done to convene the Maternal Health Coalition on this side and really leveraging a community partner in My Health, My Resources of Tarrant County that is very unique within the state of Texas for its leadership around how do you navigate mothers to social supports. On the Dallas side, UT Southwestern literally writes the obstetrics textbook. Now, that doesn't mean that the obstetricians and the medical care that folks are getting here in Fort Worth is subpar or not as good as in Dallas. Many of the doctors that practice here trained at UT Southwestern. But they, UT staffs the public hospital on the Dallas side called Parkland Hospital. And that births more babies than my home state of Montana and about half a dozen others.
Wow.
And so having that research acumen with such a large and representative patient population has allowed them to develop a clinical evidence base that is pretty unrivaled. So we knew coming into this what already did or didn't work in terms of what are the biggest clinical and non-clinical drivers to reduce the severe maternal morbidity burden. The other big thing that Dallas brought to the party was access to claims data and like probably every person listening wants to shut this off right now, so I apologize.
I'll be really fast. Helpful, yeah.
but essentially, we have access through the Parkland Center for Clinical Innovation in our Metropolitan Hospital Association. We can track 100% of clinical outcomes for all hospital-based births in our Metroplex. It makes us incredibly unique, mm-hmm. and it is a really important precondition for entering into these kinds of technical arrangements with the federal government where you reward payment or reward outcome improvements, right? Because you have to prove them out. And so CPAL then helped to sort of be the connective tissue across that coordinating infrastructure, which is now includes every major health system and in the region, dozens of community and clinical partners, and away we go. It's been really exciting. Yeah,
maybe just to highlight from a little different angle, Cam did a pyramid, and I would do a timeline. So if you think of a mom getting pregnant, giving birth, and then postpartum, three kind of buckets. They're not three buckets, you know well.
Sure.
They blend together. But both counties brought tremendous expertise that the other county didn't have at that level. So Cam mentioned Parkland Hospital. So that's the prenatal and the birthing, just excellent. They just lead mm-hmm. the country in moving that needle. Tarrant County brought the postpartum component. And so you put those two together, and it wasn't just 5 million people. Neither county could have done this by themselves because there would have been this void in that continuum of three kind of units. So I think that was also part of the magic of all of this at the end of the day.
And then we had the opportunity, because of the ARPA-H process we were undergoing, is to turn to local philanthropy and really national philanthropy around this. And y'all were the ones on the front lines of a lot of those initial conversations that we're still having, by the way, with funders. But what do you think got their interest the most about this work? Why were they interested in helping us fund it locally?
Yeah,
that is a great question that I'm not, I would say, and I don't know if philanthropy is this simple, they just saw the immense problem. It's our community, it's their mm-hmm. community. And like it was unacceptable to you, they saw that we had a plan that we had high confidence was going to work. And again, that was going to impact our community. Now, I know that's really naive sounding and simple, but that is their return on investment at the end of the day on all of this, is mm-hmm. our community getting healthier and not being a national leader with negative outcomes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Cam.
I think a lot of philanthropy, in addition to being very committed, of course, to their mission, is some of the big problems that they encounter. How am I quantifying the impact of my giving? And how can I be assured that this giving doesn't just, when my funding stops, that this just goes away? Mm-hmm. And so the proposition that we brought, and we have 11 funders from across Texas, from Houston and Central Texas to a bunch of folks here, Fort Worth Money was the first to move, mm-hmm. let the record reflect. and so we were able to then say, this is unlike another opportunity because it's an outcome-based payment program. We need funding to launch the interventions that will allow us then to reduce the severe maternal morbidity rate, unlock this federal funding, and then transition ourselves to more sustainable funding sources through state and local sources, as well as through health plans. And then that way, the role that philanthropy is playing is one of kickstarting, of being able to invest and provide that seed funding into a virtuous cycle that rewards preventative care.
And it is unique for Dallas and Tarrant counties to be working together in something of this scope, right? Yes. I mean, I can't really think of anything in particular other than transportation projects sometimes. Right. And so a lot of feedback I've received from some of your funders and their leadership was how unique that opportunity was for them too, to feel like they were working on behalf of the entire region. Which is
it
really
is. I've been here 9 years, and that was kind of the joke, I will say, mm-hmm. when I arrived here about the two counties working together. This has been just phenomenal. We can call any institution in either county, and if we didn't know where we were calling, it wouldn't matter because we'd be received the same way. That's mm-hmm. pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. One thing that struck me every meeting we had with the coalition or even smaller groups, meeting with legislators, policymakers, whoever it may be, any fancy person, any regular person, is that
we were doing the work and we still are. You know, there's so much noise around maternal health.
And
we could all argue about those issues all day long, but we were focused on how could we actually help our own health outcomes. And I also believe strongly that we have created a model that you can duplicate in other regions and other communities across this country really easier because their regions aren't as big and as fast growing as ours, right? And so I'm sure you, on coming from the consulting world and seeing from a lens across the United States, do you feel that same way, that we have an opportunity to sort of give lessons across the United States?
Of course, absolutely. And the way that I had initially, when we started this work, thought it would proceed was we win the federal grant, we do the work here, then we scale the work across Texas, and then we scale it across the United States. Mm-hmm. But what I'm learning is you start scaling it while you're doing the work. And it's much easier to invite people into work that is already underway. And I think another beauty of the outcome-based program is it's made us so much more resilient that we needed to, from day zero, start practicing what we were preaching. But the state, we've always had a statewide coalition to drive regional outcomes. And we'll continue to have and foster a national network as well for us to be able to do the work here. But a lot of what, we are implementing Texas-grown interventions developed by local leaders in this space. And it is an opportunity for Texas, absolutely, to lead the country on this. The prenatal iron supplementation program is one thing that we could talk about.
Yeah, please do, because I think sometimes this feels kind of academic and complicated, but... Totally. And fortunately, some of the interventions are very uncomplicated.
Right.
So, and you mentioned iron supplements. So you want to talk about it too?
So the iron, we're modeling Parkland work yet again to acknowledge a national exemplar. And our anticipation is this will become a U.S. policy. It won't just be something that is still considered. It's probably good if you want to do it. And it's really quite simple, and it's pennies on the day, basically, for a patient. When women get pregnant, their blood volume goes up significantly. They're already right on the cusp of being iron deficient because they're reproductive age women, and they're losing iron with every menstrual cycle. So now they're stressing their blood system more because it's getting larger, and they can't make enough red blood cells to carry enough oxygen. So it's almost physiologic, which means we almost expect it from a mom. It's not a pathology, but it has problems with it. So you give moms iron from the prenatal period, and they build up more of a resiliency for their blood components, blood supply. So when they bleed at the time of giving birth, and there's always some blood loss, they're farther away from that critical moment where you have to transfuse them. And that's very highly monitored. So you hit that kind of zone and you're going to get transfused. And that's the major obstetric complication, both nationally and here, that our moms encounter. So just giving them the simplicity of an iron pill a day, it sounds very simple. It's obviously a little more difficult than that. But that small amount of money, small amount of effort over the counter, doesn't take a prescription, makes a huge difference in the transfusion rate.
Yeah. It's life-saving.
It is, absolutely.
And the innovation of this, so it's like, how is this different from sort of the norm, is we are handing a bottle of iron that we have vetted at a prenatal appointment rather than recommending that someone go out and buy it themselves. Mm-hmm. So you're eliminating all those barriers where I need to get myself to the drugstore, I need to go select an iron supplement. Maybe it's not right for me and I can't tolerate it, right? There's GI effects for a lot of folks depending on the formulation. And it's been really, really fun watching TCU in action. You used the word scrappy earlier. And here we have a new med school that's flexing its research muscles and doing it in its own way. And so while over the course of negotiating this contract with the feds, TCU gets 10,000 bottles of iron into a network of over 50 prenatal clinics across the Metroplex. Mm-hmm. And it was really scrappy. And then the other one that's been really fun is a partnership with private industry to do this. So a lot of people don't know about about iron. I am part of that group. This is absolutely psychotic to say in Fort Worth, but I am vegan.
We'll forgive you. It's okay.
Yeah. Listeners, the look on your mayor's face right now.
No judgment. No judgment.
And so I've needed to go on an iron supplement during this. And who is the best messenger? Mm-hmm. It's the company that makes it. And so TCU has been brokering a partnership with the iron manufacturer to do marketing here in the Metroplex using our data around clinical outcomes and non-medical drivers so that we can target those neighborhoods that are most burdened by blood transfusions, which, as Dean Flynn mentioned, is the most common driver of severe maternal morbidity. And so that we can provide culturally congruent messaging, right? So folks are talking to, or hearing this message from people that that look and sound like them around the benefits of taking an iron supplement during pregnancy. Because many people like me didn't know that you should be doing something like that.
And it's so powerful because, again, as a non-clinician, recognizing some of the solutions, not all, but let's just take the population of Black mothers we have been concerned about and talked about for decades and really not done anything significant to change it. This has the possibility, truly, to eradicate that disparity.
Right.
And that, to me, is so powerful. And to, but to your point, we need all hands on deck and recognizing, unfortunately, just an iron pill a day is not that simple. And meeting moms where they are, no matter the obstacle. And so all these can kind of, I hope people can listen and understand that all these pieces kind of work together to
so
help
I think,
serve
and we said this earlier, the first barrier is we have to get a pregnant woman to a prenatal clinic visit. But to Cam's point, now there will be iron waiting for that mom. We're not going to tell her she needs to go to her local Walgreens and pick this up. It won't happen, and we know it won't happen. So the trick is, and the challenge is, get them to a prenatal visit, and we know that's a big issue, and then give them the bottle of iron, which is enough to carry them through 6 months of their pregnancy.
Yeah. The other great thing about this work is there have been additional efforts happening that were in parallel to our coalition, but also integrated into one in particular led by United Way was the Teen Birth effort. And in a minute when y'all can kind of give a short synopsis on that. And then our work with doulas and United Way also helped shepherd that forward as well. And the importance of back to meeting mom where she is, like having additional supports, whether it's midwives or doulas, in the birthing process, which has been incredibly enlightening to me. And I've gotten to meet, honestly, in the community work I've gotten to do when I'm out in the community, more times than not, it's a doula that comes up to me that has heard about our coalition work, whether she's been, you know, directly impacted or, you know, knows about it from talking to folks across the community, which is really
great. I just think it's amazing that a Teen Birth didn't exist. That's a relatively new entity.
Yeah.
But doulas existed, and yet here we go again.
Yeah.
We had this resource, but only pick and choose who knew about it and then who was valuing them and bringing them into this. Yeah. Teen Birth is so logical when you hear it as a mom. It's bringing everybody together, including the patient, to talk about where she is, what's happening, what's going to happen when you get discharged. And it's the physician, it's the nurses, it's the social workers, it's the doula, and you have this huddle. And it's so logical, it's scary.
Because now it's like a game of telephone in the hallway, right? You talk to one, you talk to the nurse, who talks to the doctor, who tells the nurse, who tells you.
But Teen Birth eliminates that.
Right.
They force everybody, and that sounds like a harsh word, but sometimes we need to be forced to get together as a team and communicate with the patient part of it. So she gets to ask questions and she gets to hear answers back.
The results
is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
The results already here in Fort Worth are really promising.
I have a friend who I went to UT with, and he and his wife, he's from South Korea, and he was here visiting just to catch up on a few projects. He's working on the United States. And he was just describing to me, they just had a baby, you know, the birth process in South Korea and the resources. And he's a very matter of fact guy. And he's like, you know, like having a baby is like getting hit by a car and that you get hit by a car and they just send you home with barely any resources and a screaming baby. And you know, they do it very differently in South Korea. And it that has not gotten out of my head because it's very true. It's an incredibly traumatic experience.
Yeah.
And to create teen birth, you know, as one example of a more holistic way of caring for moms and babies is so important.
Well, and to add getting hit by the car, when I was young, a mom could stay in the hospital for 2 or 3 days. Normal birth,
just get
under control a little bit. And now, as you know,
yeah,
moms have to go home within 24 hours, and it's all predicated on a payment model, not on what's in the best interest for the mom. So they not only got hit by a car, we're sending them home very, very quickly after they deliver.
Yeah.
And then we're sending them home, and what was their, you said trauma, and that's the right word, even in the best circumstances, it really, truly is. And it's really important that patients keep coming back to the healthcare system. And so across the 7 hospitals here in Fort Worth that are participating in the teen birth model, we've seen for patients that have experienced a complication during pregnancy, we've raised it this from 66 to 75%, the share of moms who feel like their voices were heard in their care plan and in their treatment. And then, of course, more to grow there, but particularly for folks that are having complicated pregnancies or at risk of complications postpartum, it's still very important for them to continue to go back to that original care team, because here in the Metroplex, patients aren't aware that we have different health plans and hospital systems or county, you know, folks aren't thinking like that. And so over 1 in 4 postpartum readmissions are to a different, due to hypertension, are readmissions to a different hospital than the one in which they gave birth. And so it's just very disruptive from a continuity of care perspective, because for each of these visits, the doctor can tell us, you know, it's seeing your existing patient with whom, you know, and you have all their medical records and the like is very different than seeing someone in an emergent situation and for the very first time.
And having no idea what had gone on in the
process.
Starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Yes. And I would just say, you asked earlier about medical students. Imagine our students growing up now watching this process in a pregnancy, labor and delivery, and postpartum. It doesn't exist anyplace
powerful.
Else. So they're going to go elsewhere, and they're going to be a little indignant. And then they're going to start to make, and if they're good leaders, they'll start to build little mini Fort Worth and Dallas.
Yes, absolutely.
Totally.
That's great.
Totally.
Well, okay, we're going to close with a good question. Like, what gives you hope in this work, or just even in what you're working on, even outside of maternal health? What are you excited about? And it can be related to this or otherwise.
Well, I'll pick just a mundane one, but it's not mundane at all. What we're doing has elements. It's already been done. So we're scaling it, first of all, locally, and then, as Cam said, regionally and then nationally. So for this particular work, and I'm not a glass half full kind of person, I expect my research to fail. And then I'm really pleased when it doesn't. This, I fully expect that this is going to succeed. And that's really kind of cool to be on a wagon where I think we're going to make some major, major advances for our population.
Yes, I would agree. What about you, Cam?
You mentioned earlier that everyone that you called to join the coalition said yes. And I've had the same experience as we've scaled this across the Metroplex. And we've been able to get stuff done under the radar. And we're just sort of quietly been working away at this and excited to continue to tell the story as we learn more and as we see more outcomes so that we can continue to drive improvements for moms across Texas and beyond.
Very good. Well, I'm so proud to work with both of you and thankful. Hopefully this was educational for those that are maybe watching or listening. I've learned a lot just, again, getting to catch up with both of you. So thanks for what you're doing for Fort Worth and Tarrant County, and of course for Dallas County as well.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you
for doing this.
Of course, thanks.
Thanks.
Special thanks to Fort Worth's own Grady Spencer and The Work for letting us use their song, Things to Do, in the Go Time podcast.